The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another riveting, exciting UAB Director's Chair. We call this Director's Chair because it's the athletic director, and Director's Chair is kind of a movie takeoff. You know, I put it together and I call it the UAB Director's Chair, and it's something that nothing else out there has named it, and it just fits out great. And it works out pretty good. We've been doing it for many, many years. Mark Ingram, the athletic director for your UAB Blazers, is a good friend of mine. Today, we're going to do something a little different in a continued effort to grow the best fan base out there. You've invited one of your super fans, not your super fan, although he could be a Mark Ingram super fan, but David Pettit is joined. The UAB Director's Chair here on Tony Curry Radio today. And of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast, we're available on every major indice out there on Audacity, VEASAN, you name it, we're on it. David, welcome in as UAB Blazer fan, man. I appreciate you coming on the show today. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Go Blazers.
Go Blazers. We kind of do a little wrap up. I know you probably listen to the show every single week. Basketball program got off to a rousing start the other night. Of course, a big ball game going to the Wolfpack, NC State this weekend. We'll talk about that. And the football team now has to win three of their final four games. Certainly this Rice game is that's a team that they should beat or can beat this weekend. That would be bode well if they, in fact, they want to make make the bowl season. So we'll see what happens. But Mark, tell me real quick how you met David. I realize you're an athletic director, and so you get it from both sides. And certainly with social media, you get it from both sides. Talk a little bit about that. You have never shied away from being real about that, man.
No. Listen, David is one of these guys that I think you called him a super fan. I mean, he really is. And he comes to, I don't know that I could say everything, but nearly everything. I mean, I think if he's not working or traveling or somebody's in the hospital, David is at our event. And so, you know, see him at games, see him basketball games, football games, see him at our coaches radio show on Monday nights. And I just said, "Hey, man, what do you think about coming on the show?" And so he was gracious enough to do it, which I appreciate. You know, I think David is also a guy that all of our fans recognize too. So it's not just he's not just a person who I see at games. He's a person that is kind of a recognizable figure amongst our fan base. So
right, fantastic!
Just thought it'd be fun to have him on.
I know you got a couple questions. You'll throw them. I want to throw out the first one here because the one thing I love about being a UAB fan is the accessibility. I know I can get close to the floor. I know I can get close to the field. It's not like our brothers down the street. Of course, you're under the Alabama umbrella, but it's very, very difficult. You get lost in the crowd, and you can really be something special with UAB. And of course, you can be part of this growth spurt that obviously the university is having, not only with the practice facilities, but also, of course, with Protective and everything else going on with this program, its new coaches, and of course, his basketball program. But I want to ask David, you know, how did you get to be involved as a UAB fan? Is it run your family? Was there a particular moment in time when all of a sudden it just kind of clicked? And what makes it so good about it for you? Because I tell my friends, man, I go down there at a UAB basketball game and I own the joint. I mean, I can walk around the place like everyone just thinks I'm like, I'm it. I can't do that anywhere else, which I love. But just talk about that a little bit.
Well, I moved to Alabama when I was 10 years old back in 1973. And, you know, when you come to Alabama, one of the first things you ask is who you fur and are you saved?
Mm-hmm.
and in that order, particularly. And so, by default, I guess I became a Bama fan because, you know, I was in a rural part of Alabama and had never even been to Birmingham, so I didn't know anything about UAB. But then as I got older, attended University of Montevallo and started watching Montevallo basketball and really loved that because I'd played high school basketball. And then I heard about UAB, and so I went to the BJCC and watched them play, and man, was I hooked. The passion Gene Bartow had and the way the players played and playing teams that looked like to be above their heads and somehow come out and get a win, you know, and it just became really exciting for me like that. And so, and then a little later on, I was at my church youth group. I was one of the counselors, and I had two students in there, Paul Linsky and Lance Rhodes, mm-hmm. who played for UAB, and they kept saying, you got to come to the games. And so I started attending games and once again was hooked. The Horned Frogs or somebody that we were playing that we beat and on ESPN, and it was just a big game, and my picture was on the newspaper carrying my daughter on my shoulders holding a UAB sign up. And so, you know, things like that happen and you just become, you know, a big fan. And so it's just grown since then.
First time I worked with Aldo Greco and Jay Barker, who obviously had their contingent of Auburn and Alabama fan bases of their own. And so I was kind of in the middle, but I've always been a UAB guy and I used to sing the fight song. We used to have a good time with it. And so my son, obviously because his old man is a UAB fan, is also a huge UAB fan. And I can remember taking him down. It had to be, well, see, it was when Mike Davis was the coach. So how long ago was that? You know, Mike, of course, had taken Indiana to a national title. I was like, wow, he's the head coach at UAB. That's huge. And, there was a game where we were actually sitting on the bench. He invited us to sit on the bench. And there was a game where coach was just railing on somebody. I mean, railing on somebody, riding him up and down the floor. And then, as quick as he turned it on, he flipped it, turned around and looked right at my son, Santo, and said, "How you doing, son? Are we having a good time?" And my son was, his eyes were this big. He was like, whoa, to hear this guy just drop what he just heard all of a sudden. Just, and of course it was on television at the time we recorded it. And so he was sitting there having that, that moment with my son on television. So at that point we were hooked as well. So it was really good. Well, it's great to have you on the show, Mark. I know you have a couple questions you want to ask him as an athletic director. And certainly if you're out there listening or watching, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. If you've got a question for Mark Ingram, anything goes, feel free to go ahead and write us up. But go ahead, Mark, I'll let you ask a couple questions.
Well, I thought, is it a hot topic right now? We're looking for our next head football coach. And David, you know, has been, as he indicated, he's been a fan for a long time. He's seen ups and downs and in between. And, you know, I want to make sure that our fans know that I certainly understand how important this is and always have. That's not new. But, David, I'd love your thoughts. You know, what do you think we should be looking, just like qualities? What are the sort of qualities you think we should be looking for in our next head football coach?
Well, you know, I've known several of the coaches, and they all had great characteristics. If we could combine all that into one coach, would be fantastic. Being a strong leader, you know, we need somebody who can, you know, step into that role and immediately own it and take on all that it means, you know, to really study what it is to be the coach at UAB, because it's different than anywhere else. I mean, who else has had a program that shut down and fought to come back? And then, you know, to be a coach that, you know, you're still in that growing part. Again, it's almost like a brand new program, so to say, and maybe somebody has real good communication skills so that you really kind of know where they're going with things, and you know the fans can hear from the coach and see the vision, and you know, get on board with that, because a lot of the fans are just a little disillusioned with the ins and outs that have happened, and you know, give them some confidence, someone who can step in and I think really communicate with the players. Mm-hmm. You know, communicate that, be a role model and communicate with them a vision and help them see UAB as being really a special place to be, you know, even sometimes becoming like a father figure, you know, that I taught school and I know that feeling when you're that for somebody. And so, just to see that, all come together in one person, because with today with the NIL and the portal, you know, getting players to own their place in UAB history and becoming a UAB player and seeing how they can, you know, really develop, because UAB provides a lot of development for players. I think that's that development aspect really plays into it. So like I said, somebody can bring in all those good characteristics and really build a team. And that's what I would like to see.
Yeah, and let me interject here, because I as I hear your answers, it's a fantastic answer as well. At UAB, we realize that we're a group of five school. And obviously when you're looking for a coach, and Mark, this is going to be a question for you, when you're looking for a coach, obviously you don't have all the money in the world to go get one. You're not going to be able to drop $14-15 million a year, like a Cinetti or something like that in Indiana. You can't do that. And so your dollar packs a punch. I mean, your dollar means a lot. For UAB, every dollar's got to mean something. And so you need to go out there and get a guy who could be that diamond in the rough, or is just on the cusp of doing something really special at his institution. And then you swoop in, pick him up, and then let him use UAB not only as a place to grow, but perhaps as a stepping stone, doing even a better job. Just talk a little bit about how difficult that is.
Yeah, well, on the difficult part, you know, there's a lot of people that are having success as head coaches or coordinators somewhere. But we're working with a consultant, and I got some information, some statistical information that I'm going to use this time that I didn't have access to last time. And one of the things that he shared was that between 2015 and 2024, there were 235 head coaches who were placed in jobs during that 10-year period, 235 of them in the FBS. Out of those 235, only and stayed 2 years, at least 2 years at their school, okay? Out of the 235, only 35 of them have won six or more games each of their years being the head coach.
Wow. Wow.
When you think about that, I mean, that's just remarkable. That's not my opinion. That is a factual statistic. And so that means 85% of those people that were hired won fewer than six games in at least one of the years when they were there. Maybe they went 5-7, and then maybe they went 9-3 the next year. But it just tells you how difficult it is to be, you know, when we talk about, well, what are our expectations of the job? Well, of course, we want to win championships. But just getting to a bowl game, just winning six games is incredibly hard. And all those coaches got their job for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They weren't just like, give Roy a chance. Get on in here. And, you know, there's a lot of study that goes into that and things that create this sense of understanding that this person can have success. And so that tells you how hard the job is. People sort of come out of the woodwork saying they want your job. You know, the whole idea that I've got a list in my desk drawer. Yeah, I do. I'm tracking the careers of various people and seeing how they're doing. And, you know, if I need one day, that's in all sports. But when the job becomes available, you have that list. And then you also start having agents call you to go, hey, you may not have known it, but my guy, David Pettit at the university or wherever, he's interested in the job. And you go, wow, I didn't think that he would have interest in this job for, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so some of the people you think would be obvious yeses turn you down. They won't even talk to you because maybe they've got a family reason that they want to stay where they are or whatever that you're just not aware of because you know about their football stuff. So, you know, your list kind of grows and it kind of expands and shrinks back and forth through the process. But then, yeah, you know, when you're picking the last one, you start splitting hairs. And I mean, splitting hairs on what makes out of your, you know, final four or something. What are the things that make you choose the one over the other three? I mean, it's a microscopic differences.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we've seen it at Tulane. We've seen it with Summerall. We've seen it with Cignetti. We've seen it at Indiana. We've seen it at Memphis. We've seen it at UCF. We've seen it at Cincinnati. You can get a group of five team vie for a national championship. There's no doubt about that. But and briefly talk about how difficult now, because you were talking about some of the qualities you want to bring as a coach. First, guys, I'm probably looking for a businessman. I mean, I want to know a guy that's got money. You got to have cash. And you know now, when you get a great player who is going to really raise some eyebrows on any level in the FBS. Next thing you know, everyone's going to be offering this kid cash to leave, and he can go.
I don't know if they're going to bring cash with them, but I think you certainly have to have an understanding as a head coach in the modern era that raising money is part of the deal.
Yeah.
And so if you have anybody that kind of shies away from it or is like, you know, I'll talk to anybody you want, or I'll show up at things. No, we got to be doing this together. And it'd be like, again, if David was the coach, I need to meet with David regularly and have David say, hey, I bumped into this guy, Tony Curry. Do you know Tony Curry? Oh, yeah, I know Tony. He says he thinks he wants to help us. Mm-hmm. You know, Mark, I think if you call him, we could probably close that deal. Or the opposite. I might say, hey, Coach Pettit, hey, I was at the game the other day and this guy, do you know Tony Curry? He was talking to me about this. I told him this was important. Coach, I think if you called Tony, I think we could lock that down. Yeah. Like this is we both need to help each other. And you got to think that way. And you need a person who understands that while winning games is their primary job, raising money is going to help them do that. And it can't be just on them and it can't be just on me. Like it's a partnership here amongst our staff, because we're also raising money for all sorts of other very important projects. One being, you know, we started raising money from the very beginning in Blaster Boosters to help us run the department, mm-hmm. which is how we operate. It's how we keep the lights on. It's how we travel. It's how we pay for the buses and the airplanes and all that stuff. So we can't stop doing that. And then we still, and David's been here long enough to know, and you can elaborate on this, David, if you want. We've still got a long way to go with some of our facilities. You know, our baseball stadium isn't what it needs to be. Our tennis facility isn't what it needs to be. And we've made great improvements, but we're not near where we need to be to truly compete with the people in the American. In some spaces, we're better. I think our football facility, both practice facility and stadium, is probably the best. I think when we redo Bartow Arena, I think you'll be able to say that it's the best or in the conversation with being the best. But some of the other things have got a long way to go. And so these things haven't stopped. David, what do you think about what I just said about the fundraising and, you know, Blazer Boosters, competitive excellence funds for players and facilities?
As far as facilities goes, I remember walking on that square track back in the day, and to be able to walk in that same space and to know I'm walking through the same 3D space where people practiced on that field, and to see the field we have now, it's just it's mind boggling. And, you know, some of the other the soccer stadium, the new track, and the basketball practice facility, to see these things that have come along that don't come easy and that are very expensive, and that, you know, we need to know that, get the fans to know that things are getting better in every aspect, but there's still much more room for growth.
I remember walking through those offices down there at Legion Field, and I also remember going through the dentist offices. And the stuff was coming off the ceiling.
Yeah. I've actually got a couple of bricks left over in that dentist office that I picked up before they hauled it all away.
Yeah, UAB's come a long way, for sure.
David, I'm curious, when I talk about those things that are all important in their own way, as a fan, is that intimidating to you? Because I think there's a thing that we use a term called there's an exhaustion, right? There's a real fatigue. People will call it fan fatigue, from that sort of thing. How do you feel about all that?
Well, you know, if you keep going to the same well over and over again, eventually you'll hit bottom. And so we got to have more fans. We need to expand our fan base. We need to excite some of our fans that are, you know, a little lukewarm, some that maybe have fallen away because of they didn't like the way things happened over the past, and to get them on board. And, you know, to compare to other programs in the state, it takes a whole lot to run their fans off. Our fans are still young and don't have the generational depth that, you know, great grandpa was a fan and grandpa was a fan, and, you know, and, you know, all that. So the, you know, trying to build that that loyalty that, it's hard to, you know, you can't break it out of my hands. I could tell people I'm green and gold till I'm dead and cold. And, you know, you're going to pry my UAB souvenirs out of my hand.
I've never heard that one, Dave. That's good.
That's good. You should make it to a shirt. It's good. Yeah, there's no doubt. You
know, they say they're going to pry my UAB souvenirs out of my hand to get me in the casket. So, you know, that's it's just one of those things. You know, I picked it and I focused my passion on it. You know, when you have a professor in your math class at UAB, who, because you missed the test because of your grandfather's funeral, and he invites you over to his house, and then he can't find a piece of paper, and you take a final exam for calculus on a paper towel, and he grades it. I mean, that I was just hooked right there. You know, my first year in my second degree that I was working on. You know, and that's just, you know, the different kind of people. You know, they care. The professors care. The students seem to be going more. Used to, I'd walk on campus and see kids wearing every other college under the sun. Now, if you drive down University Boulevard, you see kids wearing, you know, Blazer attire and green and gold. And it's good to see that, because UAB has been such an eclectic group of people to begin with. And now it's becoming more and more a uniform, you know, fan base. And I'm just so glad to see that taking place.
All right. You got some more questions, Marco.
Well, you come to all of our basketball games, David, I know as well. What do you think so far of what you've seen? You know, Coach Kennedy, God love him, had to put 12 new guys on the court. And we played two exhibition games and, of course, the first regular season game the other night.
I'm excited. You know, the players, I saw where I can't remember his name, but he had that massive dunk and where he got his nose, I don't know if it's broken or bloodied up pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, he had a thing on X where he, you know, talked about that. And he said that ought to be an ESPN moment. And it really should be, because it was a big thing for, and it was a kind of a wake up for the team, because they, you know, Vanderbilt came in and you kind of expect, okay, here's a team with a lot of money and they're going to be strong. And if you beat them, you'll be happy. The Western Kentucky game kind of was a bad taste in my mouth, because I felt like we really could have beat them. But again, the team really hadn't fully come together. And during the middle of that third game, that first official game, you saw the players starting to react to Coach Kennedy's play calling a little better, and plays happened that, you know, were really powerful. And to see that, and that's what, you know, that good coaching does, is it gets the kids who have all this talent to learn to get that talent to intertwine, so that, you know, when the quarterback throws it, the receiver knows exactly how it's coming in, you know, or they, you know, a block is being made for a running back, and the block is made just so that the running back knows exactly where it's going, because that teamwork that comes together. And that just excites me to see that.
Yeah, I think it's important too to remember, you got Andy Kennedy right there, right? And so he's had an opportunity to leave, and he hasn't, and he loves it here. He played here. He set records here. He's won more games over a 4-year period than any other coach in the history of the program, not only just of UAB, but any program in the state. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about a coach and his philosophical differences, the way he does things, you may have 12 new faces, but they're all still playing Andy Kennedy's way.
Exactly.
Andy Kennedy didn't change. You know, he's still the coach. Now, he may have to take their skill sets and use those skill sets differently and go out and find things. But so, you know, when you talk about a great coach, when Coach K had 12 new players, he's playing Coach K's way. He's figuring out how to coach his way. So, I mean, I'm excited for the season. I kind of like the idea that no one's expecting anything out of this group, because I know that's when some things can really, really happen for UAB. So I think that's really, really good. Mark, you got another question. And I love that. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, coming back to something that Dave said, you know, we were playing Western Kentucky. What I was with you, like, I was bummed that we didn't win. But what I was encouraged about is, it's funny to say this, we were 48% from the free throw line. We were 15 of 31 from the free throw line.
That hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we lost by 2 points. And so I thought to myself, okay, I know these guys have been shooting free throws since they could pick up a basketball, you know, so it's not like, you know, how sometimes we as fans will just kind of go, oh my gosh, do we ever practice that? Well, of course we practice that. And we weren't great against Mississippi Valley State, but we were 62%, which is not where we want to be, but hopefully headed in the right direction. But I mean, that's kind of what I saw, is I thought, like you, I know the moment you're talking about with that dunk, and I hear Coach Kennedy yell a lot of times, he'll say score or he'll say finish. And what he's talking about is if there's a bit of a breakaway or a loose ball, you know, he doesn't want them, I don't think, to go down and dish it off. I mean, I think if he sees an obvious opportunity for sort of there's a 2-on-1 and I can create an alley-oop or something like that, that he's good with that. But I think he is trying to say, don't be timid.
Right.
Go at him. You know, I think that's what he's trying to get them to do. And that dunk kind of, to me, was like, yes, that's what he's talking about. Be authoritative.
That's right. Take control. You know, and if you can't take control, assist somebody who can, you know. But when you've got the ball, your primary goal is to put that rock through the hole. So,
can I just say this real quick because I want people to realize this. UAB owns Bartow Arena. That's their facility. Okay. And we thank the BJCC for legacy and for certainly protective, and they're a big part of that and stuff. But the fact that UAB controls that aspect of that means also they control the prices. When you're taking your family out of four, I couldn't make it down there tonight, but I wanted to. It's nice to know I can feed my family and go see a basketball game and it's not going to break my bank. I'm just telling you, I think people don't appreciate that much. You get to go see some great style basketball, and you can actually go buy and buy dinner for your entire family, and it's not going to run you $100. And I just want to say thank you for that, because I know y'all at a lot of universities aren't going to do that. You could actually pay $250 for a hot dog, and it's like, thank you, because that's, I mean, that's half the fun. The hot dogs taste better at sporting events. Why? Because you're at a sporting event, and it's funner that way. And it's my daughter wanted to go to a basketball game the other night. She wanted to go to the UAB game. I couldn't do it. She wanted to go down there just to have a hot dog. She's like, I don't care about the basketball. I just want to have a hot dog. Because she knows hot dogs taste better at sporting events. And I was like, okay. And so she's all stoked about going there. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. Nothing against anyone else. Appreciate that. I know you have to have your $19 smart waters and all that other stuff. But man, from a guy who busts his ass and goes paycheck to paycheck and has three kids, I appreciate that. So thank you.
Yeah,
so I want to do that. What's your final question? It has something to do with a genie in a bottle or something. What?
No.
What is
David,
this?
David, I was going to ask Dave, you know, like you've talked a lot about your passion for the program, how you became a fan. What I said to Tony was, you know, if you could make a wish, you know, what would that be as it relates to you know, so the floor is yours. What would it be for UAB?
Well, Tony said a genie in a bottle. I think they'll give me three wishes. So my first wish would be that maybe I win the lottery. I'm not talking about the little lottery. I'm talking about the big one that has the B on it.
And hey, count us all in that one, buddy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'd take care of my church and family. And then after that, I would just have fun doing things with the money. And one of the things I have passion for would be UAB. And I'd love to be able to, you know, NIL in some great players, maybe donate to a facility and get my name on it, which would be really cool. And then I guess after winning lottery, my next wish would be that UAB would become such a recognized program because of the excellence in academics, the excellence in athletics, like we already are, but you know, it's more people to be aware of that, become a brand name that people recognize. You know, they talk about Southeast and they go, you know, UAB comes in the conversation, not just SEC, because everybody's the program to think that, you know, we become such a powerhouse that every year our name comes up when we're talking playoffs, and that we could win our conference and get into the playoffs. And, you know, people watch to see, hey, is this the year UAB is going to win it? You know, that would be great for me. And then I guess kind of a cheesy way, my final wish out of that genie's lamp would be that every time somebody walked into the state of Alabama, visited, that when someone said, who are you for? That their answer would be UAB, of course.
There you go. There you go. Hey, Mark, what would you say? I've been doing radio here since 1988, and one of the things that people have always said about UAB is that they're not going to get a great fan base because it's a transient school. It's a school a lot of people get their undergrads from, or they get their grads, and they maybe get their masters. Obviously, we know from a pharmaceutical and from a medical standpoint, it's one of the best, not only in the state, but in the world. And so a lot of people look at UAB for all kinds of different things as far as in growth and the medical thing. But when you're talking about just a Southside college, a lot of people feel like it doesn't have that campus feel because it is downtown Birmingham. What would you say to people like that? Because we drive down there, I see it. I know there's places down there to live, and it's great.
Yeah, I think, listen, I think that was fair at one point. I would just tell you it's not that way anymore.
Yeah.
And our president has done a great job building a lot more dorms. That's what starts it, is you got to have more on-campus housing so that those freshmen, you know, feel a connection to not just the place where they go to class, but it's where they live, and it becomes their home, and that makes them want to stay because they love their home. And so you said transient. I think the term really is like commuter school. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this comes, and David talked about, like, we don't have we're not old enough yet to have people go, my grandfather did this, and I remember coming. We're just not there yet. It's just more about it's a youth situation. It's not, there's nothing we can do about that. It will change over time, but we're taking all the steps, I think, in terms of building new buildings and classrooms and dormitories and things like our rec center. You know, these are important because it makes students feel, you know, that their social experience is what they want out of their college experience. So there's just a slow growth there. And I don't know, maybe it's not even that slow, because I can tell you the number of things that have happened just in my 11 years here. It's significant. And I'm not even talking about the athletic stuff. I'm just talking about, you know, on campus. So I just think it takes time, but there's so many of my friends here in town. My kids go to Vestavia schools, and just talking to other parents that grew up here, you know, if they, we start talking about UAB, and at some point one of them will say, man, I went down to UAB the other day to visit my friend in the hospital. God, I hadn't been down there in 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, you live 5 miles from here. What do you mean? And, well, and it's because if you're coming up 65 and you need to go to Atlanta, you come up 65 all the way to I-20 and you go through downtown and you do pass Protective Stadium and Legacy Arena, but you don't go through University Boulevard to get over there. Yep. And so people just sort of go Red Mountain Expressway and around as they should. But as a result of that, it is kind of amazing how many people, if they don't need to come to the hospital or they haven't chosen to come to one of our games, they maybe haven't been here in a while. So their memory of what we are is different than what we actually are.
It is fantastic. I mean, we're building things that, I mean, I never thought we'd have an amphitheater, never thought we'd have a baseball park, I never thought we'd have a football stadium. It's all happened in the last 10 years. So it's pretty amazing. And kudos to the higher ups in the Birmingham area that can see the future like that and realize that that kind of stuff over the long haul is going to bring in some money. All right, we only have a couple of minutes left real quick, David, but something that Mark and I love, and we do a lot of it during the off season. We talk classic rock because we're classic rock fans. I got to know who you listen to, what's some of your favorite, because this is ultimately how you're going to be judged on this show. You better knock it out of the park. I don't want to hear Lynyrd Skynyrd. I want to hear something good, but give me some classic rock bands you really like and your best concert you ever went to. Go.
Well, as a kid, my mom had some young ladies that she fostered, and they brought to me Three Dog Night and Creedence Clearwater. And
All right.
And as a 5-6-year-old kid, listening to those albums and getting to drop the needle and hear the dust pops and then hear that album start, that'll hook you on that kind of music, you know.
Right. Okay.
Loved it. As a kid of the 80s, 80s rock is just nothing like it, you know. 80s music, and so that's kind of where I'm at. Here lately turned into kind of a country music guy. Mm. Of all things, I don't know exactly how that's happening, but just my radio was on that station, and I heard a song, and it kind of struck a chord. So I'm a little bit everything.
No, I think obviously country music is where it's at, and there's some dude that's filling out Bryant Denny Stadium with 100,000 tickets. So I mean, obviously country music's doing pretty well. And I've been saying for 10 or 15 years, oh, it's going through a window phase. Country music's going to be gone in a couple of years, and I said that 30 years ago, so I was a little off on that. But classic rock hasn't left us either, so we're loving that. It's still going to be around, so that's good. We got bands. Hell, we got Rush going on the road next year after 50 years. Sounding better than ever have, so that's good stuff. Hey, David, thank you so much, man. You got your ticket in. You're welcome to join the show anytime you want. I greatly appreciate it. Mark, thanks for setting this up, and really appreciate you guys, the UAB director's chair. You can find this show, of course, it runs at least 5 days a week on the UAB or on the Tony Curry app, not on the UAB app. It should be on the UAB app, but you can also check us out, of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're available wherever you get your favorite podcast on every major industry out there. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you guys very, very much. Go get them this weekend against NC State. Of course, the big game against Rice this weekend as well. Got to go one game at a time, three more. Right. We'll see if we can knock that out and perhaps turn the season around on the year. We'll see what happens. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Pleasure.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.